Hello. Good day. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have the pleasure of having on the show a woman who lives in Frankfurt, Germany. Her name is Brigitte Müller, and she is one of the people that found Reiki very soon after my grandmother died, and then took it back to Europe, and especially in her case to Germany, in the beginning, and Reiki began to be practiced in Germany at that time in the early 1980s. This is a part of a series of interviews that I'm doing this month with people who have connected with Reiki right at the very beginning of the spread of Reiki around the world. And it's a pleasure for me to have these women. There are four or five women who have been in this movement and were like the start of Reiki in many countries. So if you will welcome Brigitte Müller to the show. Brigitte, it's really nice to have you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you too, Phyllis. I'm very delighted.
Yeah. And of course, it's really important for me that you get to tell your Reiki story, and also that people hear, you know, just the magical moments of how things happen that bring Reiki into our lives, even today after so many years. So I'm really anxious for people to hear your story, and take it away.
Yes. Should I start now?
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, it was in December of 1980 that I was visiting in the United States, and I met a man who started to talk to me at a satsanga from the Self Realization Fellowship in Los Angeles, and we talked a while, and then it came out that we're taking a flight up northern California for a workshop. This was a psychiatrist from Beverly Hills, and he was giving a workshop. And I was very interested in that, and so I went along. And who picked us up from the airport? It was Mary McFadden, my Reiki master teacher. And she was talking about Reiki in the car while picking us up. And I said, well, what is that Reiki? And she said, oh, this is a Japanese healing art, and you can put hands on, and you can receive energy. And I said, oh, I'm so interested. Could I have a treatment while I'm here? And she said, well, actually, you can also learn it. I could transfer it to you, and then you would have also the Reiki energy in your hands, and you could also give treatments. And I said, oh, I would be delighted to do that. Would it be possible? And she said, well, I will tell you next day when I meet you again, and I'll let you know. So the next day she told me, yes, I will give you the first degree. And after the workshop, I stayed there, and she gave me the first degree. It was up north near Nevada City. And we were in a little meditation camp, and in a little blockhouse, actually, and the deer was running around outside. Well, it was beautiful. So there I got my first degree. And right away I asked Mary, would you come to Germany if I would organize a class for you? And she said, yes, if you have enough people and my expenses are paid, then yes, I will come. So after I returned to Germany, I asked my friends in Hamburg, I was living there at the time, and they said, oh, yes, we all want to have the Reiki. And so we had the first seminar in, June of 1981. Mary came over, and during the time I had already moved to Frankfurt, and she stayed with me, and we had the first degree class. We had about, 18 people, and we also did a class up in Hamburg. We had about 27 people. And wow. My mother was in the first degree class in Frankfurt, because she also had been very interested with healing hands in all her life, and so she attended the first class. And I had, right away after I had my first degree, I said to Mary, I really would like to also go on the path to become a Reiki master. I knew it, this was my calling. And actually, I was in the States because I wanted to go back to live there. I had lived in Los Angeles when I was a young woman, and after I was divorced in 1977, I wanted to go back 1980-81. Anyway, Reiki changed my life, so as you know, I stayed in Germany, and and that was it. Yeah, so Mary came for 2 years, and I organized classes for her. I translated the classes, and it was a wonderful experience. And then finally, in 1983, in January, actually, I went to Canada to meet Phyllis, you, and to ask if you would initiate me becoming a Reiki master.
Uh-huh.
And first I landed in San Francisco. I met Fran Brown. She picked me up from the airport, and we traveled around, and then, of course, I was up with you in Canada, which was a beautiful country, and we drove and around and also visited some of the older Reiki masters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really wonderful, and attended some classes. And finally, after 3 weeks, you told me, yes, you will initiate me. And I was so happy. So that was on the 27th of January, which is going to be on Sunday. So this coming Sunday, I will have my 25th year anniversary of Reiki Master Teacher.
Wow.
So then, of course, I went back after our trip. I went back to Germany and started teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every weekend, I was on the road in different countries, first of all in Germany. Then I went to Switzerland, to Austria, to France, and all different kinds, Poland. Poland was very, very special, but that was later in 1986. That was my most outstanding Reiki seminar experience, because
yeah.
In 4 days,
uh-huh.
In 2 classes, I initiated 270 people in Reiki.
Well,
but I didn't have time to teach. I only did initiations for 9 hours in a row.
Wow, amazing. So, Brigitte, I'd like to just go back a little bit. When you first received Reiki from Mary, what were your feelings like? Was it something that you were looking for, would you say, on an emotional level or on a spiritual level, or was it something that you needed physically? Or, I mean, I don't know, how did you relate to Reiki?
Well, I was always interested in metaphysical things, in spiritual things.
Uh-huh.
And I was healthy myself, and I was just interested to have this experience and to have also these healing hands and to help others.
Uh-huh.
Because after that, right away when I got back to Germany, I started education on becoming a healing practitioner, because in those days it was we have a very strict law in Germany that you had to be a healing practitioner or a doctor if you were going to do some healing. So I wanted to have the professional background to be able to do this kind of healing also.
Uh-huh.
And but also, that's why I also later on I passed the examination for healing practitioner. And also it was my wish to do something for the peace in the world, for the peace within each person. So one day we would have a united Germany, because in those days Germany was still behind the Iron Curtain, and also the other countries like Poland, Russia, and so forth was behind the Iron Curtain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this was all within my calling and my heart to to do that.
And did this come from your own personal experience of when you were born in Germany, do you think, or
yes.
was it?
Well, of course, I was born and I lived during the war. I was a child in the war, and I was always, I was very much for peace, you know, that we will have peace in the world. And I remember, you know, in 1945 when we were taken first by the Russians and also Americans, that at, on the 8th of May, my mother and I, my brother was born. She was, he was lying in the Kinderwagen, you know, in the little wagon for children. And we were going through the fields, and I was carrying a stick with the, one of my brother's napkins, you know. Is that the correct word?
A diaper.
Diaper, yeah, diaper.
Yeah.
A big diaper, like a white flag, you know.
Oh.
A white flag. And I was carrying this while we were going because there were still shootings going on. And and we were going from the country, from the little villages to my mother's sister's house. So that, you know, if there were airplanes in the air or still shootings going on, they would see that we were for peace. Then you wear a white flag.
Uh-huh. What a beautiful image.
Yeah.
Really poignant. Very
that, that just came to me. I was only 6 years old then, or 5 years,
wow.
you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder you have this passion for peace.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. And then, you know, as you began to, when you went back to Germany, then you started to treat your friends, and is that how they connected with Reiki, or was it just because
yes.
you said the word?
Yes, well, first in Hamburg, I had people that were also spiritually involved, and we were doing breathing therapy, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they were all interested, and it was the time when the Bach flower remedies were just coming out, and they were all interested in that, you know, in those days. So the, all those people were interested, and, of course, I gave treatments, and with my parents in Frankfurt after I had moved, I treated them.
Uh-huh.
And it could help them. I mean, my father had some arthrosis and in his knees and his hands, and that helped him a lot. And my mother always was interested in healing hands, you know.
That's very interesting.
And then I had, of course, also friends here. They were interested.
Right.
So it all came together. And once, you know, we had these seminars, those people again had friends. And
right.
they wanted also to come.
Right. So it just kept snowballing.
Yes.
Well, Brigitte, we have to stop right now for a few moments. It's
yeah.
time for a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have the pleasure of having Brigitte Müller on the show. She is from Frankfurt, Germany, and was person who happened to cross Reiki quite magically and brought it to Germany, and eventually in 2 years became a Reiki master herself. And one of the things that is so clear for me as I travel from country to country is I see that each country, each culture has its own sort of wounds and its own place of healing, as we all do. We, as individuals, we have our own wounds that we perhaps come into this life with, or perhaps are created during our particular existence on this earth. That's a whole other discussion. But I see that in when I went to Europe as an American, I really saw that there were a lot of feelings about the war, and I was very naive and really not educated about them at all. And Brigitte was one of the people who really brought me into a kind of reality about what it was like for Europeans, especially, you know, in the early 80s, because, you know, in this is, you know, this was something like 30 years after the war ended, and the Berlin Wall was still up, and people were really wanting to have movement. And Brigitte was really moved me a lot by her sharing of her treatments and her classes during these early days. And I'm wondering, Brigitte, if you could share this with the group, with the listeners who are here with us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, because of many families were split because of East and West Germany. You know, the half family was over there, some people here, and also the wounds from the war. This is very, very deep in the people, and there's a lot of sorrow in it, and pain, you know. And as the Reiki treatment and also the Reiki initiations into the first or the other degrees brings up all these things that are pushed down within the person and are not worked out. You know, it just comes up from through the energy. And so many people started crying during workshops or, you know, have for breaking out. But Reiki is such a beautiful, soft and gentle energy that it healed all that within the people. And I must say, especially in Poland, in doing that workshop, I mean, this was unbelievable what happened with the people, because they were also so torn from the life they were living. There was nothing to eat there, nothing really to drink, no taxis, no gasoline, nothing. And they were telling me that this is the first time in their life they are feeling peace in their hearts after this Reiki sessions in the Reiki first degree. So this was just a beautiful experience. And finally, of course, as we know, in the 90s, the war came down, but we had already worked quite a bit. There was another Reiki master that had her first and second degree with me, which you initiated. And she went to East Berlin, I mean, through the wall, which was very dangerous in those days, to teach there. And, of course, I was with a group when we were in Poland, and from there I initiated a Polish man, Jan Pedergo, and, of course, he further on taught Reiki in Poland, and it was carried to Russia, and other Reiki masters also traveled to Russia, so we brought it all into the Eastern countries, and that opened a lot. It opened the hearts from the people, and it was just a very, very deep experience to be there and in those circumstances, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you are very courageous, because I could imagine that some people had a kind of attitude about you being German. Like, how was that for them to have you come and teach? I assume you taught in German?
Yes, well, no, yeah, in German or sometimes English, but actually I never got confronted with it.
Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, in a lot of the seminars that I did in Germany, that there were other people from other countries there.
Yes.
The other people, like from France or Holland, often would have their own war story come up, excuse me, and then it wasn't that they disliked the people who were there, but because they were in Germany and because they were working within, you know, hearing the German language every day, it was like these memories came up, and then they would have some very amazing healing, but it was very painful also.
Yes. Well, and also, you know, they would project then on other people.
Yes,
this happens
exactly.
Also. Yes. But I always say other people are the mirror of you, and look what you don't like in them. It may be your shade that you don't like into yourself and you don't want to see it. The other person is mirroring something for you. So you have to be grateful for that you can see it. And then you can heal it. The once it is open in your mind and you see it, you feel it in your heart, it gets healed, because it's only love that heals, and Reiki is love.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Great. Now you all get to hear her laugh, which is indescribable.
I like to laugh.
So, Brigitte, one of the things that is really wonderful for me to be able to ask you this question, but also to say to the listeners that when I heard about Brigitte going to Poland at the time, years ago, and initiating all these people in a very short time, and sort of not doing the regular class, and of course, as her teacher and master, it freaked me out because I wanted to have Reiki be given to people and in the way that I felt like came down through our teaching. So I had contact with Jan Petrenko very soon after Brigitte initiated him as a master, and I knew that he had gotten Reiki, clearly.
And yes, really, and also, you know, we were doing teaching. It's not that nobody got taught. I mean, there were people with me on the trip who came from Frankfurt who had already first and second degree, and then we had that little handbook that came out first, and they had all the positions, and we had two big halls with tables. There was usually 10 people on one table, and one was lying getting treated, and the others were teaching also the hand positions and what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could not turn those people down. You have no idea what was going on there. In the first, we had two classes. The first class was Monday and Tuesday, and the next was Tuesday and Thursday. And, of course, there was another Reiki master with me. We were two people, and we were going to do the initiations and the teaching. We had about 100 people, and then we said, no, we cannot take any more. So, of course, Reiki brings up anything that's not healed. So this other Reiki master got her migraine headache, and she was lying in bed, and I had to do it all by myself. And so that's how I continued. And then the next class came, you know, Wednesday, and I took in 100 people, and then I said, I'm sorry, but no more. And they were looking at me, all these people standing out there, and I said, I'm sorry. And they said, oh, no, you promised us. And I said, well, it's not me. You know, I'm only the instrument. And all come in, and they got stamps on their hands so we would know, you know, who is in the class and who not. Little stamps. And so then we continued, and these other people were doing the teaching from my little handbook, and I gave the initiations. So it was a beautiful class. And of course later on we went back to Warsaw. You know, I went with three other or four other Reiki masters from Switzerland and Austria, and met Jan, and we had another class in Warsaw for 100 people. Four Reiki masters. So that was 25 each. But, you know, these were it's unbelievable circumstances.
Yeah, so unbelievable.
That's why we had, you know, I had to do it.
Well, I really can imagine, because just the look on people's face and their this chance, it's very difficult to turn away, because you don't know if you're going to actually, if everything comes together and they are able to come and you are able to come and be in the same place at the same time. And I think that's an amazing feat of courage, because I don't know how you actually stood in the initiation room for that long. It must have been incredible for you.
Oh, yes, it was. I mean, I was not the same afterwards anymore.
Yeah, you know, that I can believe.
Letting all the energy, and you know, after that we went on that on the concentration camps. But I don't want to talk about that now, because that pulled me down. I mean, I wouldn't. No, that was just the most horrible thing, and I was so open from the energy, you know. And when we had the Reiki Master Conference, remember in Friedrichsdorf?
Yeah.
That's when I had that breakdown then. That was just before, you know. That was from the concentration camps. We did a healing there with some other people from the seminar, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Brigitte, for sharing these beautiful, poignant stories. And I'd like to say that we have another station break, and I hear also that we have a caller. So
yeah, okay.
We'll be back in a few minutes with... My guest today is Brigitte Müller from Frankfurt, Germany. And before we get back to our talking, which has been extremely touching for me. I would like to say that we have a caller, and her name is Linda, and we'll invite her onto the show right now.
Hello.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Phyllis. Hi, Bridget. How are you?
Hi.
We're good. What would you like to share with us, or do you have a question?
Well, I have a question because I was attuned a little more than a year ago to Reiki 1.
Uh-huh.
And I am diabetic, and I don't know if maybe that has something to do with it, but ever since then, a lot of times it seems like I have a lot of energy in my space that is not comfortable. And I feel like maybe I'm supposed to learn how to shield it somehow. Isn't it supposed to feel good all the time?
Sorry, we both had the same reaction.
I mean, it might seem silly, but... No,
it's not silly. It's totally a great question. I don't want you to feel like our laughing has anything to do with silliness. At least it didn't for me. It's a totally cool question. Because, you know, one of the things, and I want to share this with you about Brigitte, and then she can talk for herself. One of the things about Brigitte is that she's always been into angels and,
me too,
you know, fairies and, you know, sort of these light beings and, you know, universal love and everything. And I'm a bit more, shall we say, earthy. So I don't mind being angry and I do my things. And it's always been good because Brigitte has kind of been this kind of sort of light magic energy in my life. Right. And it's been an interesting discussion. And I know that for me in the healing process that we go through and what Reiki brings to us in our lives, there are often unfamiliar sensations and unfamiliar situations that can be really confronting and sometimes even scary.
Right.
But for me, they're not unnatural. They are a part of our universe that we just haven't become acquainted with. I don't know whether it has anything to do with your being diabetic. I know that if you treat yourself regularly, addressing this part of it, that Reiki really influences the insulin process within the body, and most diabetics find a dramatic decrease in their need for insulin or for the medications that they have now.
Okay.
To mitigate the diabetic condition. And I don't know if some of the energy that you're getting is a part of this change in you.
Okay.
Because that's really
now I've become fearful of going to the next level and thought that maybe it's not for me, but there's no going back once you started it, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Brigitte, what's your...
Well, I agree with what you said. And, of course, it is the healing process that is going on, and of course there is an up and down, and especially with diabetes, I have heard from people that have been in my classes that had diabetes that they have to measure a lot their intake, you know, and see what they need on to take from insulin, because it changes quite a bit after the Reiki, when you have received the Reiki.
Right.
You may not need so much anymore.
Right. I'm just basically on the pill that I would take each day. There are a lot of fluctuations in it, but it's not that. Oh, I mean, I also have hormonal changes, but I guess it's all tied into one.
Yes. And the best thing is, of course, to give oneself every day the treatment, and whenever, especially when things come up, treat yourself, and you will come to the next level. And don't be afraid,
okay?
Because it only comes up what you are able to handle.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Well, or perhaps it's just a transitioning period that I'm going through then.
Well, what I would recommend also is to be comfortable with first degree, be comfortable with the energy, and when you're ready to take second degree, to enter it into at that time. And then you'll be more open to what second degree has to offer you. There is no reason, I agree with Brigitte, to be afraid of taking second degree, but at the same time, you want to have the timing, you know, of your own timing and honor that, because it's really important to honor yourself and what your body's telling you.
And I've not been very good with my trusting my own intuition. That's what I keep thinking. Well, is it Reiki or is it me?
Right. That's a great question. It's a wonderful question. And I'll tell you, I think I can speak for myself after almost 30 years of practice. I have the same questions come up sometimes. But, you know, it's just an ongoing exploration of our world. Wouldn't you agree with that, Brigitte?
Yes, I do.
Well, I hope you do.
Yes, I do. And I think that the intuition gets stronger once you have received Reiki and you learn to trust it more.
Okay.
You know, like the first thought that comes, you think, and this is usually the intuition. And then your mind starts thinking, oh, and you try to, you know, figure it out and so forth, but this is not so good. It is usually the first thought that is the right thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, and you have a great day.
You too.
Yes, thank you for calling, and goodbye.
Okay, thanks.
Goodbye. Wonderful.
Well, I'm really searching sometimes for the words, you know.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's difficult. But number one, you know, I have spoken about Reiki for all these years and in many, many different circumstances, and I still am speechless sometimes, wordless, because these feelings for me don't have accurate words in our my language, and I assume that's also true for you. But you're lucky; you have two languages to choose from.
Yeah, of course. But when I, you know, in German, I could say exactly what I mean. But now I was searching for some words in English. You know,
I see.
That's what I meant in English. You know, the English language.
Yeah.
I haven't been speaking English for a while now.
Well,
and this is a very certain.
Good.
A certain language also, you know, it's not an everyday language.
Right, it's not. So, Brigitte, how did you ever get into angels and, you know, kind of metaphysical stuff?
Well, I mean, I have, the first thing is that in 1977, 78, I started reading, you know, some books in this regard, and then, you know, all these angel cards came out from Finn Thorn. And, of course, my path is with the Self-Realization Fellowship for Abhahansa Yogananda. And I got the lessons, and I'm reading also a lot from his writings, you know, in the Autobiography of a Yogi, which was the book that led me there because that was after my divorce, and somebody recommended the book, and I read it, and I got the lessons. And from then on, I have been also on that path, like meditation and so forth. And, of course, angels, yeah, well, it's like, you know, in the books, in the cards, and you can get some intuition or guiding intuition from that. And, of course, then everybody is always giving me angels as a gift, you know. I mean, I have about 120 angels here in my apartment.
But you actually, I feel like you actually experience angels. Is that true?
Pardon? What?
I feel like you actually experience angel energy. Is that true for you?
Yeah, well, maybe I am one. I don't know. My mother always said to me, you are an angel, you know. And you know that Michael, you know, those little stems we have, put on the,
the horn.
Yeah. Well, he made a little angel for me. And he said he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. So, didn't you ever see it, that little angel?
Yes, but I didn't know the story behind
it. Right. From stone, you know, made from the stone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm still putting that on my Reiki certificate.
Uh-huh, great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, it's such an interesting perspective. I mean, I really have appreciated all these years your willingness to accept that there's so much more that we don't know about the physical world.
Yes.
And that, you know, there's a kind of wonderful, innocent optimism that always comes from you that I really enjoy.
Thank you.
Yes, and that I don't really have sometimes. And it's also, for me, makes this work that you've done in Germany and in the Eastern Bloc countries that we were speaking about earlier just more poignant. You know, it's more potent because there is this place in you that sees another aspect of life. And then you also see and experience very deeply this other, if one might say, other aspect of life, which is very painful and very full of suffering.
Yes, yes, right. Well, we all go through all these experiences in life, you know, like divorce and parents dying, you know, you have to to be there for your parents. And
right.
so forth, or your animals, your dogs and cats dying and so forth. So, but Reiki is such a great help in all this.
Yes, it is. It's beautiful. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And Brigitte's last words were so true. And we'll be back. Well, the time has just sped by, and I would like to just say a couple of things. Going back to Brigitte's story about her initiation, you know, in the earlier shows I asked the people who were on the show in 2007, that's before January, to not name their masters and to keep it as general as possible because it seemed like that was an important value for me at the time. And In these January shows, because these masters are so close to the beginning of the spread of Reiki throughout the world, it is important for masters' names to be mentioned, for them to be honored, and for the connection of all this to be honored, and that's really important to me. One of the things that I'd like to say is that Mary McFadgen did an incredible job going to Europe, kind of breaking through this. She was a very young master at the time. She went to Germany with Brigitte's support and, you know, passion for Reiki, which was a great combination. And out of all of the classes, and Brigitte worked really hard, this Germany just flowered under this process of Reiki and the way that it was taught during that time. And Brigitte coming to me in 2 years and saying, please initiate me as a master. I had not been to Europe except for a little college, you know, trip at the time. And I couldn't imagine ever going to Europe. I mean, somehow my brain was just not there. So when she had asked me to initiate her, I decided after many, many days of deliberation, and I have to credit Brigitte for staying in there and hanging in there with me. you know, finally getting that, you know, it was her time to be initiated, and it was such a short time to know her, and yet here she is still doing Reiki and practicing Reiki, and we have this incredible relationship. I'm just in awe of it, and I will call on Sunday to just congratulate her on her 25 years of mastery. And I want to say, Brigitte, it's just wonderful what you've done, and I just also just feel that Mary is out there, and her wonderful gift that she gave to people in being herself and Reiki was just fantastic.
Yes, I'm very grateful. I wanted to thank Mary also now through this. And I want to thank you that you initiated me and that you had the trust in me. And I was very enthusiastic, and I am still, about Reiki, and it has changed my life.
Yeah, obviously, and for us too.
Yes.
Brigitte, even though I just want people to know that just because I initiated her and we have this great relationship, she is not she does not always listen to me. And that's really good. I'm totally not into this being a sect or, you know, my being a guru. And it's very important for me that masters are able to respect their own urges and what they need to do. So, I've told the masters that I initiated, I don't want you to write a book. I'm not into books. I feel like this is an oral tradition and so on. But early on in her mastery, Brigitte started writing books. And how many books do you have out now, Brigitte?
Well, I had the first one was the Reiki. It was in the 90s, 1990s, uh-huh. I think 91 or something like this, and then three more. Four altogether, uh-huh. But not about, I wrote another one. One was the Reiki healing about the teaching and the positions and so forth. And last year, a new one came out, experiences in my life with Reiki and also from my students,
right.
That what they have experienced with healings and other experiences in their life with Reiki.
Uh-huh.
Two other books about other, but they're only in German. The Reiki healing is all. Reiki healing is in English, but the other books are in German.
Uh huh. And then Brigitte also, you've also done tapes, meditation tapes. Are those or are those?
I have one to treat yourself with Reiki with positive affirmations. And then I have other tapes for visualization, for the violet flame, and also for abundance, and and also another healing tape with affirmations for the body, with visualization for light, and especially emerald green and violet.
Uh-huh. And are these in German or English?
No, it's all in German, yes.
They're all in German.
Yes, well, all in German.
One never knows who's out there listening.
Yes.
And so if you want to access these materials, you can go to Brigitte's website, which is on the e-card. Yeah. So, you know, one of the other interests that Brigitte has is animals, and especially dogs, huh?
Yes, my dog. Well, I had a dog 20 years ago that was a boxer, but when I became a master in 1983, he died. He was old enough, and now I have a mixture. He looks a bit like a boxer, and he's from an animal shelter, and he's about around 10 years old. He was abandoned. And he is in every workshop with me, in every Reiki seminar, and he loves everybody. And, of course, he loves to touch the hands with his tongue, which people don't like, you know. But he's just so loving with everybody, and he wants the hands on him all the time, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then when we make a circle, he's lying in the middle, and then he's lying on his back. And I always say, you know, St. Pauli in Hamburg, like the girls from St. Pauli.
Uh-huh.
And, that is the total trust that he has, that he opens himself up, and uh-huh. He lies on his back, you know?
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, well, he's very sweet.
That's wonderful, and I know that you are very committed to treating animals, and you've had lots of experience with this in your daily practice. Is this true?
Pardon? I didn't
hear. You've treated animals quite a lot?
Yes, I've treated horses and cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Also in
that's
the animal
wonderful.
Shelter. Yes,
uh-huh.
It would be wonderful, you know, for people who work there, if they would all have Reiki, they could have so much than these animals.
Uh-huh.
Because they love it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So, in your years of experience in Reiki, you know, now it's been 25 years, and the flowering of Reiki in Europe has been, you know, it's just, you know, a vast garden of flowers, and you've been part of that. And can you, I mean, what is it like for you to have seen this whole progression where you are the only person in Germany having Reiki to now there are millions of Germans practicing Reiki? Isn't that strange?
Yeah, well, I think it's wonderful. And, you know, in the first few years, when I was the first, I mean, it only took about 2-3 years, and then you initiated some masters, and so it just grew, you know?
Yeah.
And it is so wonderful to have so many Reiki masters, so we can spread it all over, and the people need it.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Brigitte, for being on the show.
I thank you very much, Phyllis. It was a great pleasure.
You're welcome, and have a great 25th.
Yes, thank you very much. 27th. The 27th.
Yeah, but have a great 25th anniversary.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, this is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back next week.